Well, praise the Lord. Here we are again on the Sabbath of the Lord. And here we are, the day after Yom Kippur. And the reason why we did Yom Kippur yesterday is because we followed the Rosh Chodesh when it was 2%, and it was seen in many places in the world. And we're not knocking anybody. Some people, Judaism did it when it was 0%, and there's a lot of people doing it today when it was 6%, and tonight will be 11%. I mean, you know, when it happened, when the new moon was. And, you know, we just go by when people see it. Anyway, today is the Sabbath of the Lord. And you know what's interesting about the Bible? I was reading, when I was reading the Bible this morning, after the Day of Atonement in, I was reading Exodus chapter 30, when the Lord's talking about this, the very next chapter is all about keeping the Sabbath. And it really surprised me. I thought, here we are on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, that is. Today is Ha'etanim 11, October 11th. Praise the Lord. I'm happy you're with us. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this study today, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath day. Lord, we know as your word gets more revealed and it gets stronger, we see less and less people want to follow it, less and less people show up on your holy days. Lord and God, we know your word is powerful, we know your word is true. Lord, and you said, few there be that will find it. And you said, Lord and God, that there's going to be even multitudes in the kingdom with you, but compared to all the people that's ever been born, it's going to seem like just few, as it was in the days of Noah. Lord and God, we pray that you'll keep our hearts, protect us, put a wall of fire around and about us. Let us learn more and more. Lord, we rely on your word, and we rely on your Holy Spirit. Be with us today in a special way. In Yeshua's name, Father, answer us. You're our Father, and we're your children. Heavenly Father, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us today in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. I'm really happy to be here today. Today is the 11th day of Etanim, even though Judaism tells everybody that it is Tishrei. And a lot of people say it's Pope Gregory's got everyone saying it's October 11th, but it's Ha'etanim 11. And Etanim is found right in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Excuse me one second. Let me move down the screen. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2. All the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month. Ha'etanim, which is the seventh month. Judaism calls this month Tishrei, and we all know by now that's false because it's not found anywhere in the Hebrew Bible. Anyway, I want to remind everyone again, it seems like the closer we get to feasts, the less people I see show up. And I don't understand this. We had people walk out of our room last night when we started talking about the Feast of the Lord, and they just don't want to learn anything. They think that everything's been learned and there's nothing else to learn. And, you know, I wake up every day and I think, God, man, there's so much to your word and there's so many depths of God. I want to learn more and more and more and more and more. I never think that I learned it all and I'm finished. But some people got that idea. But anyway, I'm going to remind everyone again, because this is my duty. Feast of Tabernacles is coming in a few days. The first day is Ha'etanim 15, Wednesday, October 15th. That means it starts on Tuesday evening. And then the feast is for 7 days. You're supposed to have a feast for 7 days, which we'll do. And we're going to have a feast for 7 days, whether people want to do it or not. And then the feast, the last great day, which is the eighth day, is the last day. And it's called Etanim 22, October 22nd. And it is also a Shabbaton. So this is very important to look at. There's actually two Sabbaths coming on Wednesdays, which I've been telling everybody for a couple of months. You can't say that I didn't tell you. And you can't say the Bible don't tell you, because we're going to read it so many places. So the Feast of Tabernacles, and I want all my brothers and sisters that love Hebrew, that are learning Hebrew, you look right there, and it says Chag. That's a Chet and a Gimel. Makes a Chag. Remember that? And then we have Ha Sukkot. That's a Samech, Kuf, Vav, Remember, a vav with a dot on the top, with a cholam on the top, makes a O. So you have Sukkot with a T at the end. Right? Chag Sukkot. And that simply means the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, okay? And it says right here in Exodus 23, verse 14, 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. 3 times. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's 3 feasts, even though I know there's a lot of messianic books running around that says there's 7 feasts, but there's only 3 feasts thou shalt keep unto the Lord in the year. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. That's another 7-day feast. As I commanded thee, he commands you to keep this in the time appointed in the Moedim, yes, of the Chodesh in the month Ha'aviv. For in it thou camest forth out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Yes, we're supposed to give a sacrifice unto God. We give an offering to God, whatever you got. And then there's the Feast of Harvest, which is, of course, the first fruits of thy labor. Remember, Ha'aviv is the barley. This Feast of Harvest is the wheat. And this is Chag Shavuot. This is the Feast of Weeks, okay? And this is which thou hast sown in thy field. And now the one we're going to do now, remember there was the barley and then the wheat, and now is the rest of the crops that you reap, which is the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the end of the year. Isn't that amazing? So there's 3 harvests, which was and which is and which is to come one day. The Lord is going to do the final reaping of the harvest, which hasn't happened yet, which we're going to talk about. But anyway, and this is called Chag. I want you to get that little hog down. It's not like a pig. I'm talking hog. Chag comes from the word chagag, which means something that comes around in a circle. And that's why all the feasts of God are they're year after year. They're circular, you know. They're not linear. Linear means straight on a line and it's over. But these are done over and over again until something ends it. You know what I mean? So this is called Chag Ha'ah. That's a Samech, and that's final Fe Sofit. So we got Chag Ha'asif. And Asif in Hebrew means, it means harvest or gathering. And that's at the end of the year. See, it says Batzet Hashana. Batzet means going out or at the end of. Hashana is the year. Shana is year. Okay? 3 times in the year, all male shall appear before the Lord God. Yes, and we do appear. Yes. And this is the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the year's end. You know, it's amazing that Judaism, and I don't understand Judaism. In Ethanim, which is the 7th month, they call it New Year, but then God's calling the feast in the 7th month at the end of the year. How could it be New Year if it's at the end of the year? It doesn't make any sense. Yes, it's at the end of the harvest. It can't be a new year. It's the end of the harvest. And it says right there in Hebrew, Chag Ha'asif Tekufat Hashana. So you see the word Tekufat? That breaks down to a word which is very important, which means like the end. You know, it means a lot of words. I could go into a lot of different parsing of the Hebrew, but it's at the end of the year, okay? The ingathering at the year's end, when things come to an end, when things come to a stop, when things come to a final cycle, because God's feasts are in a cycle. It's called secular. So 3 times all the men, children, shall appear before the Lord thy God. It says, shall appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Amen. And we do this at the end this year. Yes, we appear before the Lord. And you might say, okay, that's one place we're talking about it, right? That's Exodus, Shemot. Now we go to the book of Leviticus 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So the feast is 7 days. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You know, the more I tell people that the Sabbath, I don't get it. The more I tell people that the Sabbath is a Mikra Kodesh, hardly, you know, it seems like it doesn't work. It goes in reverse. But It's a mikra kodesh, means it's a holy assembly, a getting together. It's a time of fellowship. And the word mikra kodesh is very important because it's being set apart from the world. So the 15th day of the seventh month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work therein. Anybody remember what civil work was? Anybody? Well, remember, it's Melechet Avodah. So Kal, it says Kal means all. Melechet Avodah, lo ta'asu. All the, or any kind of work, whether it's domestic work at home or public work, none of that work is supposed to be done. And that's what God commands us. That's what Kal Melechet Avodah ta'asu. Lo ta'asu. You're not supposed to do it, okay? Very important. So this is, again, the 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Offerings made by fire were burnt offerings. Of course, today we don't do burnt offerings. We have the fruit of our lips, the calves of our lips. We, like it says in the prophets, and like it also says, Yeshua quoted that in the Gospels or the, I can't remember, it was in the epistles. So it's the fruit of our lips, giving praise to God's name, the calves of our lips. It's very important. So 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. So the eighth day is a Shemini Atzeret. And that's the eighth day is a solemn assembly. You shall do no civil work therein. Okay? Again, it's a no civil work means no work, right? Does no work mean no work? No work is no work, right? So you have Melechet Avodah. Again, that means Kal Melechet Avodah Lo Ta'asu. No work at all, okay? Shabbat Shalom. You shall offer, make an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The offerings we do today are called the calves of our lips in one of the prophets and also quoted in the some of the epistles and somewhere else. It is a solemn assembly. So that's what we're going to be doing, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is very important. I know a lot of people never heard of that. This is what God says. This is so important. Here's what a lot of people never learn. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord. We already accomplished Zichron Yom Teruah. We do the memorial of blowing the trumpets, which is very important because the word Zichron in Hebrew, Zichor, means not only to remember, but it means to talk about, to mention. It means you're supposed to learn. So we did that. And then yesterday we did Chag, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which is not a chag, it's a Day of Atonement. Very serious day, very serious. That was yesterday. And look what God says right here. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim, which we are, to be holy convocations, the mikra kodeshes, when you're supposed to come together, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. It says, now you're supposed to do these feasts, it says, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord. See, a lot of people don't see that. So you're doing all these feasts besides the Sabbath. So it's more stuff to do. And everyone is accountable by themselves. Just because one person doesn't want to do it, that don't mean you're not supposed to do it. You're going to have to give account by yourself one day, right? Mm-hmm. I seen yet last night, we went online and I mentioned the Feast of the Lord. People that we know, that we like a lot, they leave because their religion doesn't tell them about the Feast of the Lord. But everyone's going to give account by yourself, right? You're not going to be with no one else. So you better learn these feasts of the Lord because they're right in the Bible. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord and besides your gifts and besides your vows and besides your free will offerings, which you give unto the Lord. There's many things you have to learn. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have gathered in, there's that word gathered, that's asif, gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day is a Sabbath. This coming Wednesday is a Sabbath, in case you don't remember. Starts Tuesday night, and it's a Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath, it's a Shabbaton. It's a special Sabbath. It's a day treated like the Sabbath. That's what that means. It doesn't mean it's the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath like today. It means it's a day that has the same commands God gives you. No work, no buying and selling. It's supposed to be a feast. It says, you shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and then the eighth day is a Sabbath. It says, you shall take on the first day, which is a Sabbath. Believe it or not, we're going to go take boughs of good trees, and we're going to take branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and you shall... God's commanding us to rejoice before the Lord your God. 7 days. How many days are you supposed to rejoice?
7 days.
And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. We're in the seventh month. Ha'etanim. Today's Ha'etanim 11. So that means you got 12, 13, 14. And then the night of the 14th starts the Sabbath, starts a Shabbaton on Tuesday night. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths. Now you might say, well, I'm not Israelite born. Well, if you're born again, you are, because you're born into the Israel of God. Who was the new covenant given to?
Israel.
The house of Israel. So if you're not born into the house of Israel, then don't do this. Okay? Because it's not for you. If you just go to some Protestant church or whatever you go, don't do this. It says that, why are we going to do a booth? Why do we make a booth? Because we feel like playing camping out? No. It says that your generation that we're in, whatever generation you do it in, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Whew. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's what I'm supposed to do. It says, Deuteronomy 16, verse 13, it says, thou shalt observe the feast of tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in the corn and thy wine. My wife and I are only growing tomatoes. I might have to bring a few of those in. But anyway, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast. Who? Who's supposed to rejoice? You, your son, your daughter, your men servant, your maid servants, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that are within your gates. Anyone within your gates is supposed to rejoice. It says 7 days. Look at, he says it everywhere. 7 days thou shalt keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. And I hope the Lord chose to dwell in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord thy God shall, here's why, the Lord is going to, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all your works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. God is going to bless whatever you do. It'll be a blessing. Praise the Lord. 3 times in a year, all the males appear before the Lord. You can't go, well, I don't want to go because my wife ain't going. No, God says, 3 times shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. When? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is in Ha'aviv, which is like around April, March, April. In the Feast of Weeks, Chag Shavuot, which is at the second harvest. See, Aviv is the barley. The Feast of Weeks is the wheat harvest, which is around Sivan, the third month. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the seventh month. Praise the Lord. And they shall not appear before the Lord their God empty. Yeah, we bring a blessing to God. We bring a tithe. We bring an offering to the house of God. We bring an offering to God. That's what we're supposed to do. All the males. And I'm sure that some of the women came too. They just didn't mention. I'm sure some of them, you know. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given thee. So whatever God blessed you in your life, you're supposed to give a blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given you. That sounds like a good deal. Because when you give to God, he gives back to you more. You can't even believe it. Right? Deuteronomy 31. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of this every 7 years, praise the Lord, this is the end of my 7th year, in the solemnity of the year of release, in my Shemitah, Shemitah is a release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. I mean, if you're going to be around me in the Feast of Tabernacles, here's what I'm going to be doing. Thou shalt read the Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Really? And the Lord says for me to gather the people together, men and women and children, even the children. What about the children that just want to do their own thing? You tell them, come over here, please, sit down. We're going to hear some word of God. It says you're supposed to gather the people and the men and the women, the children, the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn. And what? Why? That they may fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this Torah. Shma. That word observe is really important. It means to protect, to guard. You know, it means to observe it. Praise the Lord. And their children. Look at this. A lot of people don't control their children. They get mad at me when I tell them, can you please have your child just sit down and listen for a while? Look what it says right here. And that the children which have not known anything may hear and may what? Learn. You learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. You know, in a spiritual way, we crossed over this land too, spiritually. We came from the land of Egypt spiritually, and we've entered the remnant of God, the remnant of God's people with God. And that's very important. Now, here's for the people that don't believe in the, don't like to do the Feast of Tabernacles, or they think it's like a, I don't know, think it's just a waste of time, or I don't know. Excuse me one second. Let me get rid of some of these things. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting PMs while I'm talking. But here's the book of Zechariah. Now, check this out. This is really important. A lot of people don't know these verses. This is the end. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Right? I will get God. He says, I'm going to gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the house rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. However, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Remember how he did that? God always went before the children of Israel. And then it was, of course, the Israelites that went and fought, but it was God. God was there. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. We went to the Mount of Olives when we went in Israel. It's really there. It was before Jerusalem on the east. We were actually there. It really was there. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the mountain, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel, yea, ye shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Look at this. This is what one of the men in Israel didn't know when I was there at the Temple Institute. I showed him this verse in Hebrew. I said, did you ever see this verse in Zechariah? And the Lord my God shall come, and all the Kodeshim with thee, and all the saints with thee. I said, the Lord is going to come. He goes, here's this man at the Temple Institute, and he said to me, he goes, oh, I haven't studied that far. I said, what do you mean you haven't studied that far? It said, the Lord is going to come with all the saints. And that guy trailed me around for like 2 or 3 days because of that, because he was all stumped. I said, well, yeah, I said, I know you'd never heard that in Judaism, that the Lord is going to come. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Could you imagine that? And it shall be in that day that living waters, Maim Chaim, living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord, at this time, shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Okay? That's nice to know. And the land shall be turned as the plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. A lot of this is very physical and spiritual. Now look at this, and this shall be the plague. This is not a nuclear war. This is going to be the plague with the Lord is going to smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. If you fought against Jerusalem, here's what's going to happen. Your flesh is going to consume away while you stand upon your feet, and your eyes shall consume away in their holes, and the tongue is going to consume away in your mouth. That's a horrible plague. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall be lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and the hand and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, the gold and the silver and the apparel in great abundance. So shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Now check this out. We're talking about the end of the world, right? Look what it says right here. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and do what? They're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Really? And this shall be, it says, and it shall be, look at this, look at the severity of this. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. You know when you have no rain, what happens? Everything starts dying, huh? Look at this. If the family of Egypt come not up, go not up, and come not, that have no rain. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Right? This shall be the punishment of Egypt and of the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So don't you think maybe it's a good idea to start learning about it now? I mean, it says in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all day that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seat therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Amen. So the Feast of the Tabernacles is not going anywhere. So you better learn about it now. Some people go, now it's not in my religion. Well, get it in your religion, okay? Get the feast in your religion. Now, I'm going to show you how the Feast of Tabernacles translates into the Brit Chadashah, okay? Another gathering at the end. The Feast of Ingathering, which is at the year's end. When I'm talking about the year's end now, I'm talking about the end of the world. That's really the year's end, you know? And that's Chag Ha'asif, Tekufat Hashana, okay? Anyway, look at this. Anyone ever see this in the Gospels? It says, this is John 7:2. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now you might say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, Paul says to the Romans who were in Rome, he says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, he's a Jew which is one inwardly. So if you're a Jew, this is your Feast of Tabernacles. Obviously, the Romans weren't keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Romans don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, do they? No. So anyone who believes will be keeping it. We're going to go to read some of Matthew, Matanyahu, chapter 3. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Right? I indeed baptized with water unto repentance. That's John the Baptist speaking. He's John the Immerser, yes. You know, the baptism is symbolic of the big mikvah, symbolic of the time of Noah. That was the biggest mikvah going. It cleansed the world. You know, a mikveh cleans the waters, you know. I indeed baptized with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. This is talking about Mashiach, Messiah. He shall baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and with fire. That means zeal. That means like, you know, you want to go. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into his garner. This is all talking about, of course, crops and you know, the way they do farming. He shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. How could you get burned up with unquenchable fire? Sounds like it's going to be unquenchable, doesn't it? Oh, no. That means you might be staying there for a while, huh? Like maybe forever? Matthew 13:24 says, another parable put forth he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. You know, the Bible talks a lot about farming, agriculture, about the ground, about seeds. It's all about that, actually. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. When men slept, the enemy comes and he sows the tares, you know, among the wheat. And he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in thy field? From whence hath then it tares? He said unto them, ah, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? He said, no. Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Okay? So, he says, but let both grow up together. Until the harvest, ha'asif. That means the gathering. Okay? Feast of Tabernacles, till the gathering. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather, ha'asif, gather ye together the tares. You gather first the tares, just like in the time of Noah. Who got taken first? The evil. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So you gather together first the tares. And who's left? And bind them in bundles to burn them, and then you gather the wheat into my barn. Praise the Lord. So that means all the Left Behind series are a farce. All these people that teach that those movies with Kurt Cameron and all those movies that say that all the good people got taken first. No, the tares get taken first, okay? They're wrong. The Bible is right. Matthew 24, behold, I have told you before. And I have told you before too. And I know you guys read the Bible and the Lord's told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. If they say the Messiah is in the desert, you going to go there?
No.
How about if he's in Florida?
No.
Some guy in Florida says he's the Messiah.
But if he's in Jerusalem.
What about right now, if they say the Messiah is in Jerusalem?
No.
Because right now, as we're living in this generation, there's a group called the Sanhedrin again. They're about going on 4 years old. They're getting stronger in Israel right now in our generation. And they are pushing every day to build the third temple. And Judaism, the Lubavitch, they're going to put their Mashiach, I should say, on the throne. So they're going to tell everybody the Messiah is on the throne in Jerusalem one day. And of course, to us, it's going to be the anti-Mashiach. But they're going to say, is he in Jerusalem? What are you going to say?
No.
Is he in the secret chambers? Because some people always try to make it like it's a secret. Only the secret people know, you know. Is he in the secret chambers? Believe it not. How are you going to recognize when the Messiah comes? But as the lightning cometh out of the east. Which way is east in this building? Which way is east? That way? Okay. So we're going to be looking towards the east. As the lightning cometh out of the east, and it shines all the way to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Son of Man, that's foretold in the book of Daniel, you know, God's judge. That's what that means. Dan, El is God, and you know, it's a judgment of God, Daniel's judge, God's judge. It says, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
So we won't be there.
We don't want to be there because carcasses are dead things, and the eagles are coming to eat them.
Right?
Now it says, for the people that don't believe, you might be in the tribulations. it says, immediately after the tribulations of those days. And of course there's going to be tribulations because they're going to say the Messiah somewhere, and people are going to go, they're actually going to fall for the anti-Messiah, unfortunately. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, you know? And then you're going to see, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Can you imagine who was ever alive at that time? Who's ever in that generation when this all happens? They're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Doesn't it say that in Revelation? It says, all the tribes were going to mourn. Why? Why would you think they're going to mourn? Some might be mourning because they didn't accept the Messiah. Others might be mourning because they couldn't believe they rejected him their whole life. You know? I don't know. It says, then the tribes are going to mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In other words, he's not in Jerusalem. He's not reigning in Jerusalem. You know, he's not in the secret chambers. He's not in Florida. He's not in California. He's not in New York. He's not in Tennessee. He's not in Texas, okay? He's not in the Bible Belt. He's coming from the east as it shines to the west. You're going to see the Son of Man coming. And it says every eye is going to see him and those that pierced him, you know? In the book of John, you know, even though it was the Roman soldiers that actually physically pierced him, lots of people have pierced the Lord spiritually by not accepting him and doing what he says. And a lot of the Jewish brethren have rejected the Messiah. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. They're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he didn't make this up. If you read Daniel, it actually says that. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Why do you think we just did Zichron Yom Teruah? Anybody can... Does this give you a little hint? How's he coming? With the sound of what? A trumpet. Why? Because when you blow a trumpet, that might warn you to wake up. Something's happening. And the reason why we did Yom Kippur yesterday, because you needed to repent before that day in the future because the Lord is coming back. It says he's going to come with the sound of a trumpet and shall gather Ha'asif together, his elect from the four winds of the end of heaven to the other. From the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So that's why we do these feasts, these fall holy days and feasts. Feast of Tabernacles, the Zichron Yom Teruah, the memorial of blowing the trumpets. We believe that memorial was talking about when God first came down in the book of Exodus on Mount Sinai. When the Lord came down, the trumpet sounded louder and louder and louder. And God came down upon Mount Sinai. Okay? So one day in the future, the trumpet will sound again. And you better be ready. Because you better be atoned. That's why it's talking about the Day of Atonement. We better be atoned every day because you never know when you're going to meet the Lord. But at the same time, in someone's lifetime, the trumpet will sound. You better be atoned if you want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. And that's what it's all about. And this is what this study is all about. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered, Hasif, all nations, and he shall separate them from one another. Just think, you're going to be all alone in that day. God's going to separate you. one from the other, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. Could you imagine that? You know, like you might really love your wife or love your husband or love your child or your grandparents. And if they're wicked, God's going to separate you. He's going to separate them one from another. Could you imagine that? You're going to be all alone. So whatever you do today, do it by yourself. But at the same time, be with brothers and sisters, of course. But I'm saying, don't play follow the leader. If somebody doesn't want to do something, you don't go. Make sure you take responsibility for yourselves, right? Everyone does, because God, you're going to give account by yourself. I'm going to give account by myself. So I already know that if some of my relatives don't want to do anything, I'm going to be separated from them, one from another. You know how much you know how you love your relatives sometimes? You're going to be separated from them. And it says, and he shall set the sheep. The sheep are going to go on the right hand. Mm-hmm. Who's coming from the east? The Lord. I always think the east is that way. But the goats are on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come. Now, don't you want to be one of these guys? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Could you believe that? For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. We do that also spiritually, besides physically. I was a stranger, and you took me in. We had people come yesterday, strangers. Come on in, I say. Come on in. You were naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And the righteous answered the Lord, said the king. They said, Lord, when saw we hungered and fed thee, and thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Right? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king, which is the king of kings, Melech HaMelechim, he shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, not to devils, of my brethren, you did it unto me. So if you're in jail, I'm going to come and visit you. If you're sick, I'm going to come and visit you. I visited people in the hospital that were brothers and sisters, and I want to do more. So if you get sick, don't feel bad. I'll come and visit you. Anyway, how do you think I'm going to be able to keep that if you don't get sick? No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. The king shall answer and say unto him, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. Now check this out. Then shall he say also to the ones on the left hand, I don't want to be on anyone's left hand. He's going to say, depart from me, you cursed. Can you imagine God saying that? And not only that, not only departing from him, he's going to depart you into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can you believe that? Because he's going to say, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. I was naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, Lord, when saw we thee hungered or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? These are the so-called believers, you know. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Did you hear that? You're not going to get burnt up. You're not going to fizz out. This is into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, Tzedekim, the righteous, into life eternal. Whew. Praise the Lord. Mark 13:23. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. You ever feel like you've been told? You guys might think, I repeat myself a lot, but the Messiah repeats himself a lot too. He's foretold you. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. This is a Jewish interpretation of the scriptures. This is what it says in the book of Daniel. And then he shall send his angels and shall gather ha'asif together his elect from the four winds, from the utmost part of the earth unto the utmost part of heaven. Anyway, this is a short study today. I'm giving you just a preview of the Feast of Tabernacles because I want you to be there. Be there. You know that saying, be there? I want you to be there too. Get ready for the last gathering, ha'asif. The Feast of the Lord, I know, it's very sad. The Feast of the Lord are forgotten, or the Feast of the Lord are never spoken about, or the Feast of the Lord, most people never even heard of the Feast of the Lord. You know, it's very sad that Satan has made a lot of confusion, but the Feast of the Lord are very important. So I tell people all the time, read your Bibles, please. Make sure you know what it says. Everyone is going to give account for themselves. No one's going to be with anyone else. You better make sure you know what it says and do what it says. So praise the Lord, everyone. In a couple of days is the Feast of Tabernacles. So what do you think we're going to be doing on Tuesday night? We're going to be here, Lord willing, online. We might even be here right in the congregation. And we'll read about the Feast of Tabernacles more. And also, on Wednesday, what do you think we're going to be doing? What do you think I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be gathering my branches, like it says. Sister Anne has the willows where she lives. So I'm going to be building my sukkah. You know, if you go to Brooklyn, New York, you know, you'll see a lot of Jews building their sukkah, you know. And, you know, everyone is supposed to build a sukkah no matter where you are. It doesn't say go to the campgrounds and join everyone else. And it says build your own sukkah. You know why? If you don't set a presence where you live, your neighbors are not going to know. No one's going to be able to ask you a question. You better have a sukkah where you are. You're not supposed to go. I mean, it's nice to fellowship with brothers and sisters. That's great. But at the same time, make sure you have a sukkah if you take off where you live. Or whatever you're going to do. It's very important. Because that's what God says, to build one on your... That's what they did in the time of Nehemiah. They built it on their roof, on their courts. They put it anywhere. That's what they do in New York. I mean, I don't know what they do where you live, but build a sukkah so people can ask you a question like, what are you doing? And you say, oh, here's what I'm doing. Come on in here. I'll tell you all about it. Anyway, praise the Lord, everyone. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. No, you're not supposed to only do it in Jerusalem. No. No.
We don't even know where we're
going. Nehemiah wasn't in Jerusalem that I remember. He did it.
No, Nehemiah
wasn't
in Jerusalem.
Oh, was he in Jerusalem? Oh, okay, Nehemiah was in Jerusalem. But I'm sure people did it in the wilderness. They weren't, I don't know where they were.
Wherever you are.
Just keep the feast as much as you can. Do whatever you can. You know, if you're not in Jerusalem... If you went to Jerusalem right now, you have to just go build a sukkah wherever you end up.
But if you're in a hotel, you can't.
You can't go to a hotel and do Feast of Tabernacles. That's ridiculous.
You can't build a sukkah
in a hotel, could you?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, praise the Lord. I'm going to open the room for questions and comments. And I say praise the Lord, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. If you have any questions, please come to the mic. God bless you from One of Messiah. Go to our website, oneofmessiah.net. Read about the videos about the Feast of the Lord. If you didn't do the Feast of the Lord this year, try your best to do it again. If you have any questions, call me anytime. I'm at the congregation right now, 615-333-7373. We'll put it on the screen for you. Any other time, call me at my house, 615-591-9820. But I'm here right now if you want to talk to me, or if you want to talk right on Pal Talk. Anyway, shalom, shalom. God bless you. And if you have any questions, please come to the mic. God bless everyone in the body of Messiah.